You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against death domination. I have studied the idea of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world. Changing the world, one voice at a time.
Hello, 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 everyone. You are connected to the Call Out Podcast here on Madiba's Radio, where we connect, inform, and definitely engage with you. It's your favorite presenter of all time. I go by the name of KD, but formerly known as the Karabo Ntsewane Daniels. And of course, I am not alone here today. I am with
your daily dose of sugar. Don't take me in too many doses because you might have diabetes, and that's not medical aid. Today we have an interesting topic for you. We'll be recapping what's been happening with President Trump and Cyril Ramaphosa's delegation, and further just dive into Julius Malema's response and the whole response of the country as a whole. And further, Karabo will teach us about what's been happening with our Starlink company of Elon Musk, who wants to actually be the cellular and network provider for South Africa, which is very interesting. So many key points to talk about. Let's just dive into it. Right, Karabo?
Right. So, recap on Trump's debacles. You know, what a captivating meeting it was last Wednesday between U.S. President Donald Trump and our South African President Cupcake, a.k.a. Cyril Ramaphosa.
Papa Cupcake.
You know, it had everything. It had the drama. It had the side characters showing up to help. You know, the whole Rupert squad was there.
Whole squad, Baba.
Tell me. Give me intel. What is the Rupert squad?
The Rupert squad are basically the campaign finders for Cyril Ramaphosa's ANC campaign. Basically, they've been funding him ever since he was elected and even before that year. So they have close businesses together. They own mines together, along with the Motsepe family. But that's a whole different topic for another day, because South Africa really is owned by a group of elitists. And it's so crazy once we truly dive into that. We will dive into it maybe later on, but we don't want to step on any shells. We still want to be hired by these people. That's basically it.
So, Trump provided like numerous pieces of evidence to the white genocide happening in South Africa. But when we actually take a closer look at this evidence, it's all truly bogus information that was not thoroughly referenced. You know, for instance, take a look at the thousand of white crosses he showed. You will find that was a memorial for only two people. You know, a couple that was killed a few years ago that lived on a farm. They weren't even farmers matter. They were not. Yes, it was a crime, but it was not genocide, though. It was not genocide. And even in one of the articles he showed, you know, of people wearing hazmat clothing, was actually an article that was released in Kenya, not in South Africa.
Are you serious?
He's referencing things from other countries and pinpointing them to South Africa.
It's like when Americans come to South Africa and they say, I'm going to Africa.
I'm going to Africa.
Like, look at how big Africa is. It's crazy.
Anyway, so now imagine if, you know, a whole president of a whole country can be so easily swayed by misinformation with fake propaganda. How much so can you be misinformed? You know, truly with the rise of AI, everyone knowing about everything, and everyone wants you to be, you know, an enlightened mogul who has a podcast where they talk about world issues and also giving advice. How much do those people know, or rather, you know if they are being misinformed?
Mm.
You know, with everything happening on social media, Vuyisanani, do you think that Ramaphosa is a weak leader?
Hey, that's been the trending topic. Everybody is torn between Ramaphosa being a weak leader or whether he was doing it for the benefit of the country. But to me, what I'm going to try and be objective as I can, is that what came as a shock to me was how well-mannered and handled Ramaphosa was during the whole meeting, dealing with a pious leader like Donald Trump. He managed to keep his cool, but the other side of South Africans could call that a weakness, that Ramaphosa's unwillingness to engage in conflicts and argue with Trump was him not defending the constitutional rights of land expropriation without compensation of the South African people. It was him being at the mercy of America, basically begging for help in America. And that is not South African. We need not to beg from America
or anyone. Exactly.
Because we are South Africa at the end of the day. We are a very prideful nation.
And we're independent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We've fought for our struggles and to get us to where we are today.
Definitely.
What further infuriated people on social media was the statement made by the Rupert Squad and President Cyril Ramaphosa that we need technological help. Yes, that's true. We need help to fight crime and everything that's happening in South Africa. But this statement made by both Ramaphosa and the compatriots that accompanied him, it makes it seem like in South Africa we are unable to solve our problems. But the truth is, long since South Africa would have solved its issues had it not been for those funds that are misused around the government, that are misused by the government, who overseeing these issues of GBV, who oversee these issues of crime that need to be met. But now our government goes and asks for technological help from America. And it makes it seem like we're basically begging, you know, which is what Pan-Africanist, are people who are patriots of the country, people who are lovers of South Africa, who see the potential of South Africa, they hate seeing a leader such as Cyril Ramaphosa being at the foot, of a person like Donald Trump, of any state, as a matter of fact, begging for help when we know that we could be helping.
We could be
helping ourselves. We don't need a country like America, but we are in this situation because we are. And it's just really crazy. Yeah. I mean, did you see what Julius Malema posted after the delegation action?
On X, right?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely saw that. So after watching the Trump and Cyril Ramaphosa delegation, Julius Malema had the funniest clap back for
what
the two presidents. So since Kendrick Lamar dropped Not Like Us, you know, on Drake's head by going on social media, he then went on and tweeted, "A group of older men met in Washington to gossip about me.
I went a fire.
No significant amount of intelligence has been produced about white genocide. We will not agree to compromise our political principles on land expropriation without compensation for political expediency."
A group of older men met in Washington to gossip about me is a bar.
It's a bar.
Mr. Kill the Burra is standing down on business. He's standing on business. And it's crazy on his, because he's always had a very mixed relationship with the Rupert's and Ramaphosa's governing policies. And he went on to even further state, he wasn't down dropping bars. He stated that he felt like President Ramaphosa instead threw the constitution and democracy under the bus. I am disappointed that Ramaphosa failed to defend the country. I will never be intimidated by Donald Trump.
What?
But it begs the question, should Julius be afraid of people like Donald Trump?
No.
Aibo.
As a leader, I don't care. As a leader,
one has to point out the humor in all of this. You know, Karabo, truth, and to our viewers, that Julius Malema is tweeting all of this on X. A platform that is owned by none other than who?
Elon Musk.
Oh, Elon Musk. Ay, the kahunas on this man. Ay, Jonga. And just truly, Elon Musk is the number one founder and friend of Trump's political campaign. My question, as I said before, is like, I think as much as he's this person wants to be an imperialist against the West, nonetheless, the EFF leader has been hailed by his party as this revolutionary standing against imperialism, as I said. To me, it's so interesting to see how politics is played, that anything can be used in order to switch dynamics in the country. You know, it's crazy how everything is changing up in South Africa, and how one person who was not even in the Oval meeting can now be catapulted and made famous in the whole meeting, and he's taking a victory lap around the country with what happened with VET, because he's calling that EFF's victory lap. It's their victory that the VET wasn't increased. It makes you think that with how much of a leader Julius Malema is, we can't take away anything from him. Now, I have a question for you and the viewers at home.
Right.
What would a country led by EFF, a leader, Julius Malema, look like?
Ooh, that is a very tough one. What would it look like?
Mm-hmm.
My own personal view, I think there would be so much drama in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
There would be so much drama. There would be a lot of altercations within the country. Because you know that EFF President Julius Malema, when he thinks he's right, he's right. Yeah. So I would think that would cause like a lot of problems, a lot of altercations, a lot of arguments, you know, between the country
it's
as a whole.
It's what John Steenhuisen said even in the Oval meeting, the DA president. He said that we want to keep a guy like EFF out of power. They are not in government, because maybe they are afraid of a leader like Julius Malema. Maybe we all should be afraid, but maybe it is his outspokenness is what we need as South Africa as a whole. But again, viewers, this is our personal opinions.
It could actually go both
ways.
It could go either ways.
You comment and tell us online on the socials on Madiba's Radio what you think about this whole situation.
The whole situation.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But then now we'll be diving into Elon Musk. Yes. I was told that you went to America to investigate Elon Musk. She leaves us, this Karabo. She goes to Woolworths, goes to America to Elon Musk.
Yes.
What about Elon Musk? What's happening with him wanting to invest and have a company within South Africa?
Right then, before we get into that, let's just take a quick background at Elon Musk. Who is Elon Musk? What does he do? Elon Musk's background is really fascinating, actually. He was born on the 28th of June, 1971, in Pretoria, South Africa. So Elon showed an early interest in computing as well as programming. So now we are going to get into some key points about his life and career, right? So Elon Musk was born to May Musk, a Canadian-born model, and Errol Musk, a South African engineer.
Hey,
Puma, yes.
Model. Hey, now I need to get myself a model. To make sure
something.
So that my child can be a billionaire. Just to make
Definitely. So he developed an interest in computing at a very early age and taught himself programming. So Musk also attended school at Waterkloof High Preparatory School and later graduated from Pretoria Boys High School.
It makes sense. He went to a boys' school?
He did.
No wonder he hates South Africa. They bully each other.
Oh, and get bullish on boys.
You get bullish on rugby boys. And most of them are fragile. And clever program.
And Shabay Ned.
And then I figure
Scansons.
My name is Jacob. It makes sense why he doesn't want to live in South Africa.
Yeah, so then I think that might have been the reason him moving to the US, because after he graduated from Pretoria Boys High School in 1988, he moved to Canada to attend college, and eventually he transferred to the University of Pennsylvania in the United States, where he graduated with a degree in economics and physics. Usmart.
Ufundile.
And then Now, moving on to his career, right? So Elon Musk co-founded Zip2 with his brother Kimball in 1995. The company provided online content, publishing software for news organization, and was later acquired by Compaq for $307 million.
Whoa. $307 million
out of that currency. It's so dollars.
Is Ipa go and yenza ngemath mina ndenze imath lit. So Ipa go 300 million.
It's them.
Hey, I don't want to
convert it into rands. It's there, definitely.
Yeah. What would you do with 300 million?
Yo.
Just rands, not even dollars, okay? Rands.
And yours?
I've got incinci rands, 300 million rands.
Oh,
incinci.
What was I eating when?
Injury 100 million in Cape Town.
Super Ganyan?
Serious!
Really?
A beach house there by Cape Town.
Are you 50 they, at least?
They will say 100.
Really?
They don't play with a tennis court and a swimming pool. 100 le. And when you're a scholar since I'm up the road in a hospital, a private.
Bela.
100 le. Me, I would go buy a house in Cape Town for real. I'd go buy me a nice house in Cape Town, maybe a farm.
How you're talking about farms right now. Like,
the topic that we're talking about. Don't kill me, Julius.
Julius, please.
I'm not expropriating, but I'm paying the compensation by this 300 million that doesn't exist. But it is what it is. Let's go back. I digress. Let's go back to Elon Musk.
So Elon Musk was also a founder of PayPal, SpaceX, and the well-known Tesla, as well as Neuralink.
Mm.
So, unemali ubuthi. Nansindenated. Is ba unemali.
Ifethu lakhe yena yi-stacks at 10,000. Amazi uthi yetsu.
Mane timlela phakathi. Atimla. So, moving on to his personal life, you know, a much more unserious topic, you know, it's kind of fun to know, like, not talk about, like, only the serious stuff, like his company's business. Who is Elon Musk personally? So, Elon Musk had multiple marriages and partners. He has a total of 12 children.
Ah, ngumshele, kumos.
Mzulu.
Mzulu. Kubabu Elon.
Hey.
Kubabu Elon.
Kubabu Elon. So, Elon Musk became a U.S. citizen in 2002 and holds a triple citizenship of South Africa, Canada, as well as the United States.
Must be nice being a billionaire.
It must be nice. It must definitely be nice.
Hey, I need my Nigerian thing, citizenship.
Hey, bo, are you Nigerian?
No, I want to eat. They make amazing jollof rice there.
Actually,
I'm just going there for the jollof rice. If I can go fly there just for the citizenship, have my citizenship, just eat the jollof rice.
Actually, I had jollof rice for the first time on Friday. It was Africa Day at SSV camp. Yeah, at SSV.
I want ma'am.
Ish. Now I want to meet me Windows
out.
You had an interview with Professor Breakfast, and you know how much I love him.
You were in Woolworths queue doing whatever you were doing there.
You know what? Okay, I'll invite you to the next one.
Please, I want to taste jollof rice so bad.
So, on Africa Day, last week Friday, right? Mm-hmm. There were a lot of countries. Each res was representing, you know, different countries.
Really?
The res that I am from, Yolanda Guma Residence, was representing Ghana that day,
okay.
Right? So you can go around food stalls, like basically like rare stalls. So I'm in Nigeria, and that will be my first stop. I'm in Nigeria.
Oh, I'm in Nigeria.
Yeah, yes, galoku. Oh God, which guy wahala be this now? No wahala for me.
She like me.
No wahala for me. Me fine girl.
You know, me don't fine do that.
So I'm in Nigeria, and I figure. Ndathatha ifufu, ndathatha iegusi ndatya. Oh, sithandwa.
Ifufu yel egusi. I want to taste so bad, wela.
That one is nice, man.
And I've only
nice.
Read about it in books. That's the thing.
Really?
I've only read about all the food that they eat by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's books. They make stockfish, fufu, egusi, jollof rice, all these stockfish soups, different types of soups that they make. In my taste buds, I've already tasted it.
Oh.
But I haven't actually tasted it. I need my citizenship for real.
You definitely need it.
I need it.
You definitely
like, Elon Musk and their triple citizenship.
Oh, no, Elon Musk. Back to Elon, actually. So as of May 2025, which was this month, actually, so Elon Musk's net worth is estimated to be around $424.7 billion, according to Forbes.
$400 billion.
Billion. fana
umuntu angayithanga izimbabwe benetshintshi
abe netshintshi soquthi izimbabwe
Lala to my neighbors.
Yeah.
There's a joke. Oh,
Betuna. Don't come for him. Don't come for him. But like, yo, 400 billion is crazy. Not even billion.
Yo, that's such a lot of money.
Who's the richest man in the world, actually?
I think it's him and Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates. Nope.
Like, Difuni order. Kanye, you're not sure about the order.
I'm not sure about the order. But I think number one is Vincent Nomchacho,
Elon Musk,
Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, all the other guys.
Okay, sure.
But me, sure. I'm there, number one. Trust them. It's a manifest.
It's a manifest.
We
and
are
that's
manifesting.
Good. What's the date today? Do the same for you.
What's the 29, because me, trust them manifesting. Oh, call me back in 30 years, guys.
In 30 years,
I'll be there. But, it's very interesting to see that Elon Musk's career, how it's developed.
Yes.
And then all of this, what is done, leaving South Africa, coming back to South Africa, has now led us to where we are today, Karabo, with his company, Elon Musk's company, Starlink.
Ooh.
Starlink is a fiber network company, basically, that provides in network, Wi-Fi for all countries.
Akonda ngayenzi yolo butine.
Money.
Akonda ngayenzi.
Ufuna la 400 billion ibe trillion.
Sana.
It must be money. Now, the great controversy arose when Elon Musk established that he wants this Starlink company to be a part of South Africa.
South Africa?
Yes. He wants now Starlink to, as a Wi-Fi provider and cell service network that uses if flying satellites to be in South Africa. Now, Starlink Yona uses satellites that fly up in the sky.
He must fly and has no wings. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, we call those yapa, most of satellites ngalendo. Kaloku Elon Musk ungumuntu we technology.
Okay.
So zindo zabo is. So the satellite, it orbits around in the sky and then it's going to connect on the ground with another satellite that's on the ground. Thus he create a network. That's basically how a network is done kakade. Qhaya zakhe yona zininzi. So it's going to be a lot of satellites, because Elon Musk, what he's been able to do is that he makes satellites and he makes them up in the sky. Satellites, they get information. They can take a picture of you. If a satellite can take a picture of you walking around,
I did not know
it
that.
Can connect to your phone and track you where you are. So it's a very broad topic. So now he's moving on to Wi-Fi. But my question is, why suddenly now, Hotman Elon?
Hotman, why now? Hotman?
Why now, Buddha, that you want to be a part of South Africa's economy and be a player in South Africa's...
Mind you, when last did you even visit your home country?
Exactly.
When last?
Mansa was supporting Donald Trump, saying that, Tina, we are white genociders. Mm. We are killing white people. Now, suddenly, you want to be a part of South Africa.
So why now?
You want to we have an influence in our networking system and Wi-Fi. And this kind of comes as a shock to me, because a week after the delegation with USA, with Ichomiyako, Donald Trump, now
all of a sudden,
you pitch the idea These people, they are scheming nonetheless.
He is onto something.
They do not, and it's what they were talking about, which is what made people mad, is that we need technological help. We need technological. Is this the technological help that they were talking about? Elon Musk comes into the country? But then, that's not the only controversy that's happening within this. The controversy about Starlink doesn't stop where I've been talking about.
Yes.
But then, it goes against many policies within South Africa. Now, the policy that it goes against is that in international companies coming into South Africa and participating in specifically in the cellular network and internet connectivity industry, as of ICASA and the BBBEE law states that in order for an international company that enters this industry, it must give up 30% of its stakes to previously disadvantaged.
Kaloku, no way.
Kaloku, chong, you're already an established company who has money. When you want to participate.
So, like, as a foreign company, are you saying this for... Okay, cool.
For foreign companies.
Okay.
Because you're a foreign company that works in U.S. currencies, you already have money. Say, Ford, Huawei, or Microsoft.
Okay.
If they come in within this country, they have to give up 30% of their equity shares to previously disadvantaged peoples, so that those people who are going to work for those companies, they have also nabo imali that can help them. Exactly. This
that's
is
nice.
Law. Mm. But guess what? Also, the Malata minister, the industry that Starlink wants to enter, wants to ban the law.
Imalo industry, is it like technological and don't
it's technological network. Okay, he's in charge of all in connectivity issues, ICASA regulations and BPE law and he knows about all of this. But then he's willing to bend the law so that Elon Musk company can come in here without giving away 30% equity app.
Why is it calling labon so sorry?
But that's not the point. That's not the point we're making. We're just giving you information about which party he's aligned to.
Yeah.
Dalawa Tumas with that information. But then everybody, Mkhonto weSizwe, delegations and everybody is kind of like, what do you mean now? We want to bend the law. If we're bending the law for Elon Musk, another billionaire is going to come in and we're going to
Bend
the law again.
And why are we bending the law for Elon Musk? What has Elon Musk done for South Africa?
Exactly.
What has he done for us?
Who's his friend?
Oh.
This is politics. Udlalwa ipolitics. Why after a week after the delegation that suddenly now he has a company to pitch in South Africa and now we have to bend to his will? Everything is just part of politics. It's part of the deal.
I really hope South Africa doesn't submit to what he wants.
We are going to have another Gupta situation.
I'm telling you.
We will have another Gupta situation if we don't really look at it. And I'm not saying that let's not have Starlink. You know, Starlink can help. But then I'm saying like let's follow due procedure and abide by the laws of South Africa.
We can't be bending laws.
Exactly.
That is unethical.
It's unacceptable per se, in a sense. But then, what do you think about what's been happening in Karabawena? Do you think that Starlink will be beneficial to South Africa? Or do you think there's just too much controversy happening around it?
You know, personally, I think now no one can argue about the importance of Starlink. You know, it will bring so many positive changes in the country. Yes. You know, the government, with all the money that they are annually given in the budget to spend on improving like connectivity issues in South Africa, have not been able to do things like, you know, providing a Wi-Fi connection for kids in rural areas. You know, the SASA lines might be shortened as well if this can be fully done online. Mna, I don't understand because those lines are so ridiculous. They are very long.
It's because our government is not actually doing the things that it's supposed to be doing.
So the police may also respond faster to emergency because there is a direct line now between them and the citizens due to internet connection. So, and government, wait, to go to Betunana, I also think that it can help boost our economy as the youth. The youth will have access to information, thus they might start being, you know, entrepreneurs and find different ways through the internet to self-employ. And just honestly, data is very expensive.
It is.
So no more to that, please.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying, Annie, and I understand it.
That's not the case.
But
of the neutral.
What are the negatives, King?
Oh, I can also give you the negatives.
Really?
So
that's the objective?
Yes. So that, I'm very neutral. You know, there's ups and there's downs on this. So while seeing how the company is being built in South Africa, you can already see favoritism due to e-policy being broken for Elon Musk, which is unfair. You know, it makes you wonder. Yeah, but if we won't be getting ourselves like Gwenye Gupta situation, as you had mentioned. So where one company enters South African market and use their power and influence to take over the whole economy, a man as rich as Elon Musk with the help of another rich man who want to exploit South Africa could be able to do so.
That's true.
They could be able to do so. And also another negative thing is that most of our already established network providers would either be bankrupt, see a drop in sales, and lose money. That means some people within the market would have to be retrenched, thus raising intoni economy's unemployment rate.
Yo,
and
yo,
we know by him like Kikagati, a South Africa gay employment rate. You know,
because MTN galog no telecom
exactly. Because who's styling ngoku? Why is singa South African? You know, like companies is call your rate.
Or MTN, but not telecom. Why haven't they been able to do a company like Starlink?
Exactly.
When they have been part of South Africa's economy and they've been making money across
and
Utelcom,
I think it's been more than 100 years.
Across Africa for such a long time. Now you have something like Starlink that is completely going to rejuvenate the game and take you away, take your sales pitch away, take your money away, take your
Starlink
employee.
Is a huge competitor at this point. Huge competitor. Huge. They should pull up their socks.
Because there's going to be Wi-Fi at every corner of South
Africa. Love that. Yeah, when I get like
everywhere we have wife. Who's gonna pay? Who's going to 1.6 Woolworths are recognize it as their brand ambassador.
Period. Manifesting.
Hey, guys. Mm. The face of Woolworths, guys. KD.
Period.
But yeah, we want to leave the viewers with a question.
Yes.
Given this information that we've given you, what do you think, Wena, should be done with Starlink? Mm. Should we be bending our laws? Or should we take some time?
What's your take
and
on
follow,
that?
And follow due procedure with everything that's happening. That's the question that I want to leave you with specifically.
Right then. So please leave these questions on Madiba's Radio's Instagram page. It's Madiba Radio. And yeah. And also please follow me on IG, Karabo_Daniels, as well as TikTok at Karabo.Daniels. So when have we seen?
Follow me on Mixit. You'll find me there, guys. I don't have social media.
Guys, please ask Uvuyisanani why he doesn't have Instagram. Do you have TikTok at least?
No, I'll have it. I'll make it sometime when I'm ready.
You know, this is quite different to see because most of people our age have all these social media platforms like Instagram, TikTok, you know. So it's quite
I don't want to be misinformed and I'm by TikTok and all these places. But I do use YouTube. I have fun on YouTube.
What do you use it for? I'm sure you watch gaming. You look like a gamer.
I have never played PlayStation in my life. I've only played PlayStation like 4 or 5 times and
really?
At other people's houses.
That is so different to hear.
Like, nah. I was never that child, man. I'm just a person who likes what is like. So that's why I don't have all these other things. I'm just focusing
on
my books.
That's good.
Yeah.
Basically, right then, we have had an amazing time.
Thank you, people.
This it was very informative. We got to learn, because for example, I did not know, about what actually went down between the whole Cyril and Trump, situation. So I really got information on that as well. Mm. Yeah. So.
And me, I got information that Elon Musk and Mshelego. Same person.
Twelve kids.
Yeah, man. Round it off to the next 20, man. Get more eight kids.
Exactly.
Oh, I know you would like it when I get to be the bearer of those 8 kids.
Just jokes, guys. Anyways, I think now we have come to the end of the podcast. It was great. It was very informative. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Hey everybody, Luyolo Mkhalipi here, SABC Sports presenter. You're listening to Extra Time on Madiba's Radio.
Madiba's Radio. What is up, Madiba's fam? It is another week and it's another episode right here on the Madiba's Radio podcast. And you're listening to Extra Time with myself, Rabona Chobane. And like I tell you every single week, that every time we have a new episode, it's going to be me and someone new from the Extra Time squad. So I have two new pretty faces with me today, and they're going to tell us a little bit more about themselves and how they feel having their air debut. So last week we had our air debut with Risa and Yibanati, and today we have two new voices who are going to join us this afternoon. And yeah, guys, how do you feel?
It's good. It's good, though. It's good. Yeah, it's my first time, so yeah. And excited, too, though.
It's an exciting, humbling experience. I'm really happy to be here.
Okay, tell us who you are. And like,
okay, my name is Tiamo. Yeah. What can I say about myself, though?
Girl, anything.
There's nothing interesting about myself. It's just me, Tiamo, and...
and basketball.
And basketball. Yeah. You
see,
can find me.
You
can find me
there. Basketball.
You can find me there. Yeah, you can find me there.
My name is Lolonga. I'm a person who is passionate about all things sports. I'm a 22-year-old final year student at NMU.
Wow. That's nice. Got some pretty smart women here with me, you know? And of course, we all share the same passion, and that is the love of sports, right, guys? Yeah. Like, we love all things sports, and we bring you all things sport. And as per usual, we'd like to start things with all things campus sports. And I'm going to tell you, when it's campus sport has come to an end for this semester. So the last games took place on Sunday, and then when I come back next semester, it's exam season, guys. Like, so we have to...
I'm appreciative.
we have to take that break.
Yeah.
So, of course, Tiamo's going to give us the netball results, and then we're going to have Lolonga give us the Premier League football results, and then we'll just continue.
The NMU Campus League netball, court one. So there were two courts here. Mm. So of court one results, we have Yolanda Guma, which had 16 points, and Charlotte McGregor, which has had 13 points. And then we have phase three, which has 11 points, and Campus Key, 2 points. Were they playing?
Yes, they were. It's tough. It's a tough
it's
game.
It's a tough game, though.
It's a tough game. Because phase three, literally, they show out. Like, they really good.
I heard last week you said you were playing for what team, though?
I wasn't playing. I said last year.
Last
I mean,
year.
Not last year. But the year before. Yeah, first year yeah. I was playing. We lost to phase three in the final.
Oh.
So, you see.
Makes sense. It makes sense. We have Smart, which got 11 points, and 9, Lillian Ngoyi. And then we have Solomon Mahlangu, which had 12 points. And then Alpha Students had 4 points. And then caught 2 results. Castle House had 12 points and 0, Suburban Diggins. Points win. How is that work?
I think they didn't show up.
They didn't show up.
I think so.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Sarah Batman had 16 points and SSV All-Star had 11 points. I used to stay at SSV and I'm like, okay. Okay.
But they still lost though, like.
Yeah. And then we have Metro Race, 15 points, and then Laboria.
Yeah, points win. I think they didn't show up.
They didn't show up. Yeah, also. And then we have PSA, 4 points, and GQ Village, 9 points. What a game between Yolanda Guma and Charlotte McGregor. A 29-goal thriller had fans on their feet. Solomon Mahlangu fled their firepower too, while Castle House didn't even need to break a sweat against Suburban Diggins. Wow.
Moving on to the campus Premier League results. It was a thrilling match week in the NMU Campus Premier League. A mix of clean sheets, dominant wins, and some late drama. Here's your full breakdown. Hector Peterson fell short against Hlasela with a final score of 1-3. Claude Kavane kept things tight and edged out Kings with a 1-0 victory. It was an evenly matched contest between Amy Bell and Metro Rez, ending in a 1-1 draw. Yolanda Guma turned up the heat, delivering a crushing 6-2 win over Ocean View. 6-2.
In football. Yo.
Okay. Tees and PGSV couldn't be separated. A 1-1 stalemate kept both sides hungry. Tebro struggled to get going, losing 3-0 to a clinical Premier City. SSV All-Stars had a rough outing, falling 4-0 to Smart FC. And finally, 416 wrapped up the weekend strong with a 3-1 win over Solomon Mahlangu. A special shout out to Yolanda Guma for that dominant attacking display. 6 goals on campus soil, that's a statement. And let's not ignore Smart FC's clean 4-goal sweep, deadly efficiency, securing their first place in the league.
Listen, Yolanda Guma clearly is coming too. They won in netball and they won in football. Like, they're clearly coming out. Yeah. Like, they're coming out for the win. Like, they're trying to get that win. And it's good to see them come out because it's all phase three. It's like, someone needs to put them a little down.
Yeah, I get you.
Of course, with the promotional league football results, we had Laboria versus Castle House FC with a 1-1 draw. Varsity Park versus Trocadero with a 4-1 to Varsity Park. Ugh, Trocadero. You see Trocadero? We've been speaking about Trocadero for weeks and how they had their first win last week.
Really?
But they had that win by default. Because the other team had, like, broken the rules or something. A player that was ineligible to play ended up playing. So then they're like, ah. So, yeah, now they're back to their losing streak. And then we have Mariska FC versus Mector Chamber with a 4-0 win for Mariska. My Student House FC versus Steve Biko FC with a 1-0 draw. Omega FC versus Triple SV FC with a 1-1 draw. Phase 3 FC versus South Point with a 1-0 to Phase 3. Smarter versus Alpha FC with a 1-0 win to Smarter. Mariska continues their dominant unbeaten streak with yet another victory, maintaining their perfect record and staying firmly at the top of the standings. Mariska FC impressed once again with a commanding 4-0 win, propelled by top scorers Ngosana and Dambani. Their clean sheet was supported by Kumalo, who now joins Mbata and Guadisho with 2 shoutouts each. Speaking of Guadisho, Laboria FC held Castle House in a tight draw that showcased solid defense.
SSV All-Stars and Yolanda Guma FC also made a key stride up the table, while Tez FC quietly continues climbing with another solid win. Meanwhile, Omega FC and Triple SV FC shared points in a draw. With the title race heating up and individual performances shining, the league is setting up for a thrilling conclusion.
The Global Glimpse. From Gqeberha to the globe, here are the top international headlines that had the sports world buzzing this weekend. With the Champions League final, the first leg, Mamelodi Sundowns and Egypt's Pyramids FC played to a 1-1 draw in the first leg of the CAF Champions League final at Loftus-Versfeld Stadium. Lucas Ribeiro scored for Sundowns in the 54th minute, but Pyramids equalized in stoppage time through Waliad E.L. Carty. The away goal gives Pyramids a slight advantage heading into the second leg in Cairo on the 1st of June, hoping our South African Mamelodi Sundowns will present as well.
So how do you guys feel about CAF? Before we get into all things English Premier League, this is a big achievement for Mamelodi Sundowns. They are the only South African team who are at the level that they're at in this competition. And to play against another high-end club, because you know most Egypt is known as Africa's giants when it comes to football. Yeah. Whether it's the national team, whether it's the club teams, they are known as the giants.
Yeah.
Like, so for Mamelodi Sundowns to take on them, big achievement. And now we have a match coming up soon. It's on the 1st. The 1st is on Sunday, actually. They have that final game taking place on Sunday.
Damn. I just wish I was there.
Listen.
I just wish I was there. I'm sure my uncle was mad at some point.
Why? What team does he support?
Mamelodi Sundowns.
Actually, what teams do you guys support? We haven't told the masses what teams you guys support. Mm-hmm. So I need your team supporters.
Mm-hmm.
So what team are you, Tiamo?
I'll just go with my uncle, Mamelodi Sundowns.
Girl, we need to find you a team that you want for yourself.
Yeah.
I support Kaizer Chiefs, but don't ask me about MTN 8.
I was about to say, top 8 where? Top 8 where? I don't see them. Do you see Kaizer Chiefs in the top eight? Because I don't see them. Do you know who I do see in the top eight? Orlando Pirates. They're number two. Mamelodi's number one. Yeah, Orlando sure. Pirates second. Kaizer Chiefs.
At least we won a NetBank Cup, at least.
Okay,
at
but least. On the log, where are you?
Yeah.
Nowhere to be seen. Top eight. You guys can only dream of being in the top eight. See you next season. Sheesh. Okay? Next season.
That's a tough one. Well done. English Premier League. Liverpool clinched their 20th English league title, equaling Manchester United's record. Mohamed Salah had an outstanding season, securing the Golden Boot with 29 goals, the Player Maker Award with 18 assists, and the Player of the Season accolade. He also made the Premier League record for most goal involvement in a single season with 47.
And in the La Liga, we had Barcelona secured a La Liga title with a commanding 3-0 victory over Athletic Bilbao. Robert, whoa, these are very big names.
Lewandowski.
Hey? Yes, Robert Lewandowski scored twice. Kylian Mbappe won his 7th consecutive Golden Boot and secured the Golden Shoe European top scorer for the first time.
We have it. We have it.
And then in the Europa League, Tottenham Hotspur broke their 17 years trophy drought by winning the Europa League after defeating Manchester United in the final by a single goal from Johnson. And Son was honored to lead the team to winning the cup for the first time in his life. So what teams are you backing there? Because we heard you are Sundowns, you are Kaizer Chiefs, your other teams in the other leagues.
I'm a Real Madrid.
Okay.
I'm a Real Madrid.
Oh, yeah, but we did remember that day. Yeah. We were like, oh, you're like, I saw you wearing Buck, and I was like, yeah. Game is game.
And in the Premier League, I'm a proud Chelsea supporter. And can I just say we qualified for UEFA next season. Beat Nottingham Forest 1-0 in the 50th minute.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
Man United didn't, so, yeah, that's something.
Because, you know me, like, I'm more Liverpool and Barcelona and then Orlando Pirates. Those are my top three teams. So, I don't know, they're great teams. I don't know about you guys and your losing team.
You had a good season, though.
Who had a good season?
All of your teams had a good season.
All of my teams have good season. Orlando Pirates just fell short on that NetBank Cup. Otherwise, clean slate, clean season. Like, come on.
Moving on to the Betway Premiership. The DStv Premiership, aka Betway Premiership, closed out with a mix of deadlocks, upsets, and farewell moments. Here's how the final fixtures ended on Saturday, the 24th of May. Golden Arrows scored 3 points against Sekhukhune United, who scored 2. Cape Town City and Stellenbosch, 0 points each. Magesi and Marumo Gallants, it was a 1-1 draw. SuperSport United, 0. Richards Bay, 2. AmaZulu and Orlando Pirates, a 1-1 draw. Orlando Pirates couldn't win against AmaZulu. Okay, Kaizer Chiefs, Polokwane City.
That game is the reason why Kaizer Chiefs didn't make it into the top eight. All they had to do was win.
But
because the score was a 0-0 draw, they couldn't come to the top. Like, they really could not come to the top. And it's okay.
I'm so
we'll see you guys next season.
You'll be fine.
They'll be okay.
They'll be okay.
You know, it's a new season going to come out and whatnot. But of course, guys, you should remember that on the 12th of July, the Springboks will be taking on Italy right here in Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium. If you got your ticket, congratulations to you.
If you want to sell it, please I'm here.
Hit up our lines. Call us because we were in that queue for long. And we did budget. I promise you guys, my friends and I budgeted for those tickets. And then the tickets that we had budgeted for got sold out.
Yeah. I waited on the queue. I waited. And then when I was in, I was supposed to book. Got nothing.
That's
1 point something, 2 point something. I was like, I'm not rich.
I did not budget for that.
I'm not rich.
The most you're getting from me is 600 rand. But even then, that is like a lot. 600 rand is like pulling. It's like stretching on your finances. Mm-hmm. But FNL, how's that been going?
It went good. It went well.
I heard something about a loss.
Yeah, we lost against Rhodes.
All of them.
But the girls did a good job. I don't want to lie. The girls were very good.
Okay, but like, did a good job. You know what? To make you feel better,
yes,
the Madiba's cheerleaders took part in the ECMCA this past weekend, and they were competing against Rhodes in an all-girl category. And even with a penalty,
okay,
a three-point penalty, the Madiba's cheerleaders still beat Rhodes.
Really?
They came first in all-girl, and Rhodes came second. And it happens every single... Like, even with a three-point penalty, so that's three marks deductions from our final score, and still they beat Rhodes.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
This is good news, actually.
I'm not even kidding.
I'm eating this up.
I got there on Saturday, and the cheerleaders, they were just so sad. Like, the Rhodes cheerleaders were just so sad. They didn't even post the results on their social media.
Yo, do you know the way they did with us? Yo, they were crushing. The coaches were crushing out, and then there was a point where... they wanted the time to go faster since they got more points. They have more points than our team. So they wanted the time to go faster. And then, yeah, that was it. No, then we lost.
It's fine. Redemption. They were so happy. There was redemption on Saturday.
Thank you, my dear cheerleaders. You guys are the best.
They also took part in the co-ed category, which then again placing first place. A big congratulations to the Madiba's cheerleaders, who unfortunately apparently will not be competing at nationals this year because nationals falls during recess. So it would be, you know, impractical to like compete and people have to be home and whatnot.
And while we're talking about all things sports, I feel like it's also important to recognize that the USA tournament is coming up on the 30th of June until the 4th of July here at NMU, the netball campus, here at NMU by the netball courts.
Yeah, I said that last week that we're hosting USA's, but I'll be home at...
Hey. I love home.
No, the thing is, I love home too, but every time I see these things, I'm just thinking of jobs and money, like... One thing about me, I'm always looking for the cash. I'm always looking to secure the bag. So for...
That was a very smart move.
Like, so it's like I'm bummed out because the timing of it is like truly unfortunate. But I think there's USA's taking place in Bloom as well. So I'll just go and be a supporter where I can be a supporter in the meantime. Because, yeah, at this point, it's going to have to miss me.
I think I should do that with basketball adverts.
Just go and watch them.
Yeah.
Because truly, what else can you do? But to wrap up today's show, this week has been such a long week with regards to Campus Sports League. Campus Sports League is having a media launch, which is taking place soon. And this entire week has just been a hype and a build-up for the actual media launch. So I've been working activations every single day. Last night, I started losing my voice. And I was so worried because I texted my friend. I'm like, my voice is burning out. Like, I can feel my voice starting to burn out. And I still have such a long week to go with regards to having to MC sports events. So I'm really worried. So this morning, my friend texts me. She's like, how's your voice? And I'm like, I actually haven't spoken out loud. And then I sent her a voice note. And she's like, sounds good to me. And I was like, it has to sound good because I have a recording in an hour. Like, I have to come and record the podcast. So, So Campus Sports League is having their official launch, which is launching soon. They are launching new kits for all the students. So by the time this episode is out, the launch would have been over. And you must just look out on their social media at Madiba Sports, where you'll see the new kits of the different sport codes and the different teams. And it's going to be exciting. Like, I'm really excited. There is an activation. Okay, but it's going to be over at this time. So, yeah. But there has been activations. We went to PSA in Causton. We went to SSSV and Phase 3 and then South Campus. So, yeah, it's been an amazing week. It's been a long week. But, yeah, we hope that next semester when we come back, it will be even better, even bigger and better.
Yeah, true.
Okay. But, yeah, come to the end of our show. And, yeah, where can they find you on your social media?
You can find me on Instagram, TMOM. Yeah, that's it. I haven't opened a TikTok account yet or a YouTube account, but I'm still looking.
Looking for what? Time is ticking.
I'm cooking.
For no one.
Guys, I'm cooking something.
We're hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're starving. Actually, we're not even hungry. We're starving.
I'll give you guys food, real food.
Time. time waits for no one. Go to another kitchen if your cooking is taking forever.
I know, girl. I know.
Or go to another kitchen.
I know.
On my social media platforms, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok. I am Lolonga.
Is that your, like, just that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, you're in TikTok. Wow, yeah. That's nice, girl.
I'm on TikTok, Facebook, X, really? Instagram. I'm on them all. Pinterest, everywhere.
Okay.
So you're the one that's
I'm
behind.
The one that's behind.
You're the one that's behind. Of course, it's been amazing having these lovely ladies with me today. And they made their debut today. So, like, just to, how did it feel? Like, how was today?
First, it was scary, but as we went on and on and on, I'm it's chilled, it's nice. It's a nice experience, I don't want to lie.
It was an incredible experience, quite chilled, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, like I've been enjoying the show so much, especially because every week I'm just having different conversations with different people. Like, it's more insightful for me, and to interact with you all, it's like, oh, like, this is how they think, this is how this duo thinks. But next semester, I'm switching it up. I'm switching the duos up. So Lolonga Temo is not going to be a duo anymore. Not going to be a duo anymore. I'm going to switch you up, maybe throw in Yibanati, maybe throw in Bonkosi. Who knows? Who knows? I'm going to switch it up a little because, you know, you guys also need to get to know one another and see how you are on air. And, yeah, it's been great. It's been great having you here on Extra Time right here on the Madiba's Radio podcast. You can get us on our social media at Madiba's Radio. And, of course, if you'd like to connect, inform, and engage with me on my social media platform, you can do so at Rabona Chumane on, like I said, Instagram, Facebook, X, as well as TikTok. From my side, it's been great giving you all things sports. My name is Rabona Chumane, and this is Extra Time.
The best youth station in the Bay. Madiba's Radio.